Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on The Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
At 10:04 on The Fan, and a very good Friday morning to you. The midday show. Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337. 6666 is the phone number. Hit the 1 o'clock CMB. We'll come your way. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass, and it all gets started tonight. Game one, Yankees Red Sox at Fenway. And of course, as Dolph reminds me, we're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheeses only at ShopRite. So now I can say that tonight, game one of the Yankee Red Sox ALDS at Fenway Park. Jay Happ against Chris Sale. Bro, how are you?
I'm ready.
Now, when are you going up there now?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. You're not going up there today.
You're not going today.
I'm going to watch today on the television.
All right. I figured maybe you're going right to Fenway right after the show.
No.
All right.
I can only deal with one game at Fenway Park. I think right. That's my rule in my head.
All right.
And I haven't been to Fenway Park since 2009 when Omir Santos hit a home run against Jonathan Papelbon. That was the last time I was at Fenway Park. And Fenway Park, the atmosphere is great. You know, you walk around the outside of that place.
Yes.
It was always great.
Yep.
But I have never been a big fan of the stadium. I think that the stadium, for any fan that goes there, there are very few good seats. There's very few places you can sit and feel like you're watching the game and you're seeing everything. You got those poles that are up there.
There are a lot of poles.
I'm sure they've updated the seats in the last 100 years, but that's one of the perks of these new stadiums. You go to Yankee Stadium, a lot of the seats are good seats where you can see the game. Fenway's not the same way, but the atmosphere is going to be crazy because it has been 14 long years since we've had these two teams meet up in the postseason. And when you think about how different everything was 14 years ago.
Oh, my God.
It boggles the mind.
It's changed. Really, the worm has completely turned. I just want to, you know, I've been to Fenway. I've actually been to Fenway for two World Series games.
Wow.
I was there for game three with the Mets in, obviously, in 1986. Lenny Dykstra led off the game against Oil Can Boy with a home run. Mets went on to win that game. They were down 2-0 going into
needed
that game.
Needed to win that game.
Right. So I was at great seats right behind the Red Sox dugout, maybe three rows behind the Red Sox dugout. Tremendous. Never forget that. And then I was actually there with the incomparable Ray Martell for game one of the 2004 World Series against the Cardinals.
Mm.
I was actually there that night. We went to the Jet-Patriot game the next day. So we had a crazy weekend up there. It's a great atmosphere, no question about that. You're right. There's a lot of bad seats. I would love to go to a game there and sit, though, on top of the Green Monster.
Oh, I agree.
I would think that is an unbelievable way to watch a game there.
And I'm not going to lie. I started looking just out of curiosity. About $800 for one
ticket. I thought it would be more.
Well, now.
For the Green Monster seats.
On the secondary market,
right.
Yeah.
For the Green Monster.
For the Green Monster
right,
seats,
right,
yeah.
Right, right, right.
Because, I mean, obviously that's relatively new. They added that in the last decade.
Yep.
And it's a cool feature of the new ballpark.
Yep.
Or the same ballpark, but the new updates to the ballpark.
Correct.
I am curious how many Yankee fans are going to get into this ballpark. Because think about it. The Red Sox fans already sold the place out with season tickets and playoff tickets that went on sale before it was set that the Yankees were going to play them. Now, the way we live in 2018, where there's a will, there's a way. If you're a Yankee fan who wakes up this morning and says, I don't care the cost, I'm going to Fenway Park, you can go. Because you go on the secondary market.
Sure.
You pay what you want to pay.
Right.
And you go.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be a huge amount of Yankee fans just because the demand for these tickets. I think the Red Sox fan already has all the tickets, and unless you're willing to pay $600 a ticket, the odds are you're not getting into that ballpark. But think back to 99, 03, and 04. Not only, as you said, were the Yankees always the favorites.
Always.
Always. But think about the makeup of these teams. Back in 04, every single Yankee in their starting lineup, besides A-Rod, was in their 30s. Every one of them. Now when you look at the Yankees, every single guy in their lineup besides McCutchen is in their 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with the Red Sox.
Yeah, they're very young teams. Both teams are very young. No question about that.
And those teams were old. And I think that's not just a sign of where these franchises are. It's where baseball is. Baseball has become more so than ever a young man's game. It's about having that young core. Now, David Ortiz was young in 2004, 28 years old.
Yeah.
A-Rod was the same thing, 28, 29 years old.
Right.
They were the young guys.
Yeah.
Now you look around, and especially the stars, because let's face it, the guy of the New York Yankees is Aaron Judge.
No question.
And the guy
is
Mookie Betts.
Right.
Look at the age of these guys.
Yeah, no, they're very young. No question.
And I think what this series is going to start to do is now, if you're a Yankee fan, because you probably haven't gotten there yet, you're going to start to hate Mookie Betts. And if you're a Red Sox fan and you're not there yet, you're going to start to hate Aaron Judge. Now, granted, these two guys, unlike A-Rod and Ortiz, these two guys are very likable.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
But from a competitive standpoint, especially if you figure this is going to be a hard-fought five-game series, and I expect it, I think by the time we're done, the Yankee fan is going to be cursing Mookie Betts out under their breath, and the Red Sox fan is going to just hate Aaron Judge's face. And that's a step in this rivalry because I don't think that hatred there is – it hasn't arrived yet. But what we needed was this.
Yeah. And we've also, as I said, the worm has turned. I mean, going into the 2004 playoff, and the Yankees had always beaten the Red Sox every time – well, any time it really mattered. I mean, we could go on and on and on. I mean, the Red Sox had not won a World Series since, what, 1918 at that point. You know, and you know, everything really changed in that 2004 ALCS. I mean, we saw the historic, you know, comeback by the Red Sox. Nobody ever coming back from 3-0 in a baseball playoff series to win the series. Red Sox did it, and still are the only team to ever do it. We'll see how long it takes for that to happen again. Mm-hmm. And then to finally go on and win that World Series, sweep the Cardinals, and win, and ever, and win now with that three World Championships since then.
Yeah,
I mean, things have really turned around as far as you know what it was for all those years with the Red Sox.
Oh, absolutely. And just looking at the last couple of years, the Red Sox have been a playoff disappointment the last couple of years. I mean, they've lost six out of their last seven postseason games.
Right.
As far as this core
they
is
swept
concerned,
last year, right?
They got swept. Yeah, and the year before that, I think they lost in four. And so the Red Sox not only have pressure because they won 108 games, they have pressure because the last 2 years, they've gotten beaten in this very round.
Right.
At some point, you need to take a step. And while you could argue, and I know you feel this way, there's more pressure on the Red Sox. Well, there's damn pressure on the Yankees,
well, there
too.
Is. There is.
Because last year, they lost the seventh game of the ALCS. I don't think there's any Yankee fan that's going to feel okay with losing a round earlier this year.
I think the one thing, though, that whoever loses this series can hang their hat on if you want to, is like you said, both of these teams are very young, and you got to believe they're both going to be around for a long time as legitimate contenders.
That's what logic tells you.
It does tell you that.
Because a lot, like even J.D. Martinez, who has really blossomed into a star, and give him a lot of credit because it wasn't easy. He signs that deal with the Boston Red Sox. He was coming off a great year last year, split between Detroit and Arizona. But J.D. Martinez hadn't really arrived as a star yet, despite the year he had. He comes in and he backed it up. I mean, he's had an MVP caliber
tremendous
season.
No, he's had a great year.
He's probably not going to win the MVP because of Mookie Betts more than anything.
Right.
But even J.D. Martinez, you think of him as an older guy. He's 30. He's not even that old. I mean, this is what's so fascinating about these two teams is how young they are. Now, there are some starting pitchers that don't fit the bill. Jay Happ's 34. It's not like he's, you know, 25 years old. But for the most part, you're talking about rosters and cores that are really, really young. Now, as far as what the Yankees have to do, and I thought about this during the 19 games they played during the regular season, the Red Sox scored more runs than the Yankees during the regular season. We all know that. They're a different kind of offensive team. The Red Sox have guys at the bottom of their order that you can get out. And to me, that's the key, Joe. They cannot get beat by Jackie Bradley Jr.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot get beat, no offense, by Rafael Devers or Eduardo Nunez. They can't be beat by whoever's catching, Sandy Leon or whomever. They cannot be beaten by the guys towards the bottom of the order that are not Mookie Betts and not J.D. Martinez. Because those two guys, look, they've had MVP years. Xander Bogaerts drove in 100 runs this year as a shortstop.
Right.
Not too shabby.
Benintendi's had a good year.
Benintendi's also a Yankee killer at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
It's like his swing was built for Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
I figure, and you never know in a short series, but I figure Mookie Betts is going to get his hits. J.D. Martinez is going to get his hits. You figure those guys are great players right now. They had great seasons. You're not going to completely shut them down. But what you cannot have happen, because this is the difference. I think there are a lot of differences between the Yankee and the Red Sox lineup, is that the Red Sox have guys you should get out. And in this series, you have to get out. Jackie Bradley Jr. plays because he's a great defensive center fielder. He doesn't play because he's Mickey Mantle offensively.
Right.
The catching position has been very non-productive for this baseball team. So the priority for Jay Happ tonight, for Masahiro Tanaka tomorrow, and for anybody who comes in out of the bullpen is, yes, the Red Sox have great players. They're going to get their hits. You cannot let the guys at the bottom of the order beat you. And to me, that's one of the things that jumps out at me on what the Yankees are going to have to do to win this series.
Well, and I thought something, you made a great point yesterday, too, about the starting pitchers tonight and how you would have started David Price in game one and Sale in game two.
Yes, I would.
And I you know what, I think it's a great point because if somehow the Yankees win, and not that it would be a shock if the Yankees won tonight, but if the Yankees win a game tonight, now you're in a position where you got David Price, who the Yankees have destroyed over the years, in game two, in a game the Red Sox pretty much are going to have.
Yeah.
I think you made a great point with that as far as, you know, who's starting game one for Boston.
The series is built so, and you're seeing this with the Dodgers, where the guy who pitches game two can pitch game five
right,
on normal
right,
rest.
That's right.
You can use that to your advantage. Terry Francona did that last year. It didn't work, but he pitched Corey Kluber in game two and then came back with him in game five. The one thing Alex Cora can't do, and he's letting happen potentially, is hand the baseball to David Price in a very uneasy situation. And I think we've all talked about it. Everybody's talked about it, about what's it going to be like at Fenway Saturday night if the Yankees are up 1-0 and David Price is pitching.
Yep.
It's
especially
gonna be
against Tanaka. I mean, you know, I'll take Tanaka every day in that matchup in a money game.
Yeah.
Every day.
And I know you want to set the tone for a series. You want to win game one. I get that. And the Red Sox, they better win game one.
That's what I just write. Like you said it yesterday.
Yeah.
You're 100%.
Not only because of the David Price factor,
right,
but Chris Sale's their best pitcher.
Yep.
They got to win game.
Yep.
They should win game one. But you put yourself in a very difficult spot. What I was surprised about with Cora, we had a caller a week ago who said, hey, you know, how come the Yankees haven't announced a wild card starter? And we said, take a look at the playoffs. Managers tend to wait sometimes on announcing their rotation. Sometimes they wait till the day before. Look at the Brewers.
Right.
The Brewers didn't tell you who was going to start until, 12 hours before first pitch? Alex Cora has announced who's pitching all these games. Why? What's the benefit to that? Because the one thing I wouldn't want is David Price in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this goes to the Yankees. Think about this for a second. Give me your thoughts. Aaron Boone hasn't said anything, if I'm not mistaken. All he has said is Happ game one, Tanaka game two. That's all he said.
Right.
If the Yankees win the first two games, or even if they split, for that matter, they're not down 0-2. Let's just assume.
Right.
They're not down 0-2.
Yep.
I'm starting to think about something a little different as well. Maybe I go CC in game three.
Mm.
Because I now have Severino given an extra day, which, why not? Why not give him an extra day? I've got a rested bullpen. Remember, there's an off day between 2 and 3. When I pitch CC, I'm going to have to use my bullpen. If it's not an elimination game, what's the difference? Why not pitch CC Sabathia?
The off days between 1 and 2. Right?
Between 2 and 3.
That's right.
What I'm saying.
Right. That's right. Sunday. Sunday is the
right.
day.
Right. So if you pitch CC in game 3, you have a fresh bullpen because you didn't play the day before.
That's right.
If you're down 0-2, of course you pitch Severino. Of course. No question about it. But if I'm up 2-0 or I'm tied 1-1, why not pitch CC Sabathia in game 3 as opposed to game 4? Because that gives Severino an extra day, which I don't think would hurt, and you have the fresher bullpen going. So I don't know what Boone's thinking. I don't know what he's going to do. I know normal thought would be just pitch Severino. He's better than CC. Pitch him in game 3. Why not? Why not go CC in game 3 as opposed to game 4? And we'll see if what happens in these first two games dictates the Aaron Boone decision.
Who's pitching for the Red Sox in 3? Porcello?
Rick Porcello, who, here's the thing about Porcello, and we've seen this. Rick Porcello could pitch an 87-pitch complete game shutout because he did that
Or
already.
Get rocked.
Or he can get rocked. Or he can go batting practice.
Right.
And that's why when Porcello has a 4-2 ERA, it's because some of his starts are really, 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 really good, and some of his starts are really, really bad. So I don't even know what Rick Porcello is going to do in game 3, and then the game 4 starter would be Nathan Eovaldi.
Mm.
Unless they decided to go back to Chris Sale on short rest, which I have a tough time believing would happen considering – Chris Sale hasn't been healthy.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest question about Chris Sale. Because I got to defend Chris Sale about something. I've heard this said a few times. He's not a good postseason pitcher. The guy's made one postseason start.
He can't go. That's a very short sample size.
That's not fair to him.
Yep,
what's fair to say is, hey, what's Chris Sale? He hasn't pitched six innings since July. That's a fair question. Hey, what's Chris Sale? His velocity is down. But I don't think we can say. You can say David Price isn't a good postseason pitcher. You can even say Rick Porcello isn't a good postseason pitcher because the numbers are the numbers. But for Chris Sale, the guy's made one postseason start. Rick Porcello's made 11 postseason appearances, four postseason starts. He's got a 5.5 ERA.
Mm.
That's not a good track record.
No.
But that's a track record. Chris Sale has made one postseason start and one bullpen appearance. That's his postseason record. The biggest concern about Chris Sale is, well, what is he at this point? Because we haven't seen him pitch. Like, they need him to pitch since almost the first half of the season.
We'll see. We'll find out tonight. 7:30 tonight. What's TBS these games are on, right?
7:32.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All over that.
Yeah, there you go. 7:32.
But what does Chris Sale do tonight? That's the thing I don't know.
Well, we're going to find out.
Because he's capable of seven scoreless innings, 15 strikeouts. I mean, he's a dominant guy. The guy had a really good season this year when he pitched as a normal pitcher. But for the last 2 months, he hasn't been a normal pitcher. And it's all been because and leading up to this moment. Chris Sale is here not to win Cy Youngs. Chris Sale is here to win postseason games. That's how you're defined in Boston. That's how you're defined in this freaking city. But think about this, Yankee fans. Close your eyes for a second. Just close them. Imagine you're the Red Sox. Imagine you've been in the first round 2 years in a row and you've gotten beaten. Imagine you traded a ton for this Cy Young contender in Chris Sale. And yeah, he's been 29-13 the last 2 years. And imagine he's made one postseason start and it was terrible. And imagine he's barely pitched in the second half of the year. And imagine David Price, who you gave $1 billion to, is a postseason choke artist and can't face and beat your biggest rival. Imagine if you had a bullpen you had no trust in right now. Imagine Stephen Wright was your most reliable reliever outside of your closer. Imagine that was you. How'd you feel this morning? I'd be very uneasy.
Look, I'm with you. I said this before. The last team the Red Sox want to see is the Yankees. I still think there's more pressure on Boston. And honestly, I think the Yankees win in five. That's my prediction.
Yankees in five.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.